Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Today is the first day of Unleavened Bread, the first of the holy days given by God in the Bible. Some may wonder why we keep the holy days because so many who call themselves Christians ignore the holy days and keep days aligned to the traditions of society. Society is encompassed by good and evil all the way from the Garden of Eden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Whether society does what is good or evil is determined by not what society and its religions think, but what is found in the Bible. When most will be celebrating Easter in a week, we do not, instead keeping the holy days. Easter appears only once in the King James Version of the Bible, and it is an incorrect translation, as the Greek shows Passover should have been translated. The major religious holidays observed by most Christians have a thin veneer of the Bible covering pre-Christian practices. Because we know from the Old Testament, God never intended his people to borrow religious practices and beliefs from others, we do not borrow religious practices and beliefs from others. The people of Israel were told thousands of years ago not to borrow religious practices and beliefs from the nations that would be their neighbors, explaining that their beliefs were an abomination to God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shall be perfect with the Lord thy God. Some might look at the descriptions of what is being described in chapter 18 and not see how that applies to us today. To be clear, that the people of God are not to borrow religious practices and beliefs from others, we can read an earlier chapter in Deuteronomy where the people of Israel were told to have incredible respect for God the Father only. They were not to go after other gods, period. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Somehow, most of Christianity has overlooked this. Most of Christianity overlooks that Easter and Christmas, while linked to events of the Bible, borrow heavily from pre-Christian practices, what is also called paganism. Even though the Bible tells the reader not to borrow from other religions, there are those that claim these other religions have been Christianized. The history of ancient Israel shows the people did not do what God told them to do in these verses, and the ancient nation of Israel was punished by God and eventually ceased to exist. God never intended his people to absorb the faith of other religions. God only intended that other people fully absorb the faith of his people and casting away their prior religious practices. When people say Christianity has Christianized these pre-Christian or pagan practices, the Bible shows that God becomes angry through this type of practice and directs his anger not at the people with other religious beliefs, but at those of the faith who allow other religions to influence their religious practices. Getting back to the first day of unleavened bread, we only need to look to the writings of Paul, who told the Corinthians to keep the feast, not with the old leaven or the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He added that Jesus Christ is our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul reminded them with the words, therefore, let us keep the feast. He did not tell the Corinthians to not keep the feast. If there had been a problem or no need for Christians to keep the feast, Paul would have been able to clearly explain why not, but he did not. Instead, he contrasted how Christians should keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread compared to how it had been kept through temple practices. He was telling the Corinthians how Christians keeping the feast would not only be looking at the symbol of unleavened bread, but would see that unleavened bread as being a symbol of sincerity and truth. The difference between leavened bread and unleavened bread is the leavening agent, which is typically yeast and bread. The yeast or any leavening agent causes the dough to rise through the production of carbon dioxide gas, which gets caught in the dough and pushes the dough up. Aside from the leavening agent, leavened bread and unleavened bread are the same, but have vastly different appearances and textures. We also know from Acts that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was used as a marker in the journey of Paul. It was after the days of unleavened bread that Paul set sail from Philippi. If the holy days were not to be kept any longer, some other marker of time would have likely been used. Acts 20, verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return to Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. What changed between the Old and New Testaments was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. With the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he died once for all, through which our sins are forgiven and through which we are sanctified. There is no longer any need for the ritual sacrifices and offerings as given in the Old Testament. However, nothing in what Paul wrote to the Corinthians indicates the holy days were no longer being kept. There is nothing written anywhere in the Bible which tells us or suggests that other days were to be observed. The holy days were still being kept by the Christians without the need for the sacrifices of the Old Testament. This change is beautifully explained in Hebrews, where the wording shows that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ replaces all of these offerings and sacrifices of the Old Testament. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered, year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Bread has played an important role in the history of Israel and for the people of faith today. As we keep this feast, it is timely for us to remember how during the wandering in the wilderness that God gave Israel manna, or bread from heaven, to eat. As Christians, we know that Jesus is our bread of life. While we may be physically eating unleavened bread during this feast as we focus our life on sincerity and truth, that action will not attain eternal life. Jesus is the bread of life, which is one of the reasons why during the Passover, those who observed ate unleavened bread, which represented his body. It is only through the death of Jesus Christ that life, eternal life, can be given to people. And as we surrender ourselves to his will and love, that we will never hunger and we will never thirst. John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. As we are reminded by Paul, to keep this feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, we should consider if unleavened bread is that which represents sincerity and truth, what does leavened bread represent? We can look to the words of Jesus, the bread of life, to see how Jesus explained this to the disciples. He told the disciples to beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and in the lesson to his disciples, the leaven wasn't about the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. With the advantage of history, we can look to the Bible and understand the life and death of Jesus with a clearer picture than probably even the disciples at that moment in time who were with him, because they were trying to understand what was happening in real time. Each year, we can read what happened to Jesus, and the disciples experienced it once. Their full understanding would come through the Holy Spirit and by reflecting on what had happened. One part of the life of Jesus we can see includes the people who favorably and unfavorably interacted with him during his life. We know Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we accept that. Back in the day, when people needed a religious authority, they went to the temple and interacted with people like Pharisees and Sadducees. If we want to beneficially apply Matthew 16 to our lives today, we must consider who are the religious authorities in our life. For those who are the Church of God, the religious authorities in our life are found within the Church of God. Those of the Church of God will not look to another religious group or leader. It will look among itself when considering religious authorities. If we want to beneficially apply the warning of Jesus to beware the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, we need to look within our teachings and doctrines and self-reflection to see which have departed from that unleavened bread standard of sincerity and truth. If, in preparation for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we have removed leaven from our homes, we have done good because the Bible tells us to do this. We will do better to also focus our efforts on sincerity and truth as we avoid doctrines which are not sincere or truthful. That which is not sincere or truthful might be described as hypocrisy, and Jesus also used this word to describe the leaven of the Pharisees. Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. When Jesus warned of hypocrisy, the leaven of the Pharisees, we can consider where hypocrisy exists individually within us and collectively as the Church of God. As we examine ourselves, we need to remember we are charged to keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, meaning we do not act with hypocrisy and we do not compromise on what the Bible teaches, knowing that if we allow any space for hypocrisy and false teachings, these can grow and multiply just as much as leavening causes of bread dough to rise. Galatians 5, verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. The scribes and Pharisees were named by Jesus as hypocrites because their practices kept people from the kingdom of God. In hindsight, it is easy for us to see the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. But how did the scribes and Pharisees see themselves? Might they have seen themselves as guardians and protectors of the truth of God? Yet Jesus named them hypocrites. Within the Church of God, do we see ourselves as guardians and protectors of the truth of God? To some degree, we do. If the religious authorities of Jesus' day were overtaken by hypocrisy in their religious practices, we must be mindful. We can be overtaken by hypocrisy in our religious practices because Satan is at war against God and the people of God. Matthew 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. We have been called to a faith where the faith is never used as a tool to exploit others. Jesus specifically used an example of how the scribes and Pharisees devoured widows' houses. They didn't eat the house, but they found crafty ways to take the house away from the widow. We cannot allow doctrine and religious teachings to separate people from what is rightfully theirs, especially at a time when they might be without family. Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Our faith is not a faith where we seek to bring people into the faith just so those people can be made to look bad. To Jesus Christ, we cannot bring people to the faith and then create a situation where once these people are of the faith, to expect more spiritually of these people than we expect of ourselves. We should always be holding ourselves to the highest spiritual standards, and we should never hold others to an even higher standard. Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye come past sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. There is no technicality of our faith that would justify something that would otherwise be considered wrong. Words and phrases do not negate what we have done. An action of hypocrisy will always be an action of hypocrisy, no matter what words we may use. Verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold, or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift, or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon, and whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. We cannot be micro-focused on lesser issues of faith while ignoring broader spiritual principles. For instance, if we have removed leaven from our homes for the days of unleavened bread, we have done good because that is expected of us. But we also have to be living lives of sincerity and truth. If we have removed leaven from our homes and we live lives of insincerity and falsehoods, we need to examine ourselves to see if we are living a life of hypocrisy. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. We cannot live a life where faith is like a costume we wear. Outward appearances of faith may look religious to others, but the inward reflection of faith is what is most important. Before looking good religiously for others, we must first ensure we are living a life of sincerity and truth. Verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. We cannot appear righteous to people while secretly living a life of sin. All of us do sin, and we endure to the end as we put sin out of our life. We become hypocrites when we overlook the sin in our life so we can look for sin in others. Our outward appearance of faith must match our internal reflection of faith. Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. The prophet Isaiah, who lived long before Jesus, wrote of how God was not pleased with the feasts, Sabbaths, and sacrifices and offerings of the people. And why was God not pleased with the people? People were accused of provoking God to anger, of being a sinful nation, laden with sins, where children were born evil and refined evil into even more sinister forms of evil. God gave the people two demands. God's first demand was to stop the evil. The second demand was overlooked, and is easily overlooked, because the scribes and Pharisees overlooked this. In addition to stopping the evil, was the demand to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. If we have put evil out of our life, we have done what is expected. But have we also done what is expected to do well? Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow? Or do we just let bad situations continue? Isaiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devoured with presents, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the callings of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. This very first holy day is given by God, provides a shadow of things to come, as do the months and years, the weekly Sabbath, and the remaining holy days. These all give us a shadow of things to come, and we can use these days to help us better understand God's plan of salvation. The keeping of these days does not replace the death of Jesus, because without the death of Jesus, the meaning of these days would have no importance for us, because without the death of Jesus, there would be no opportunity for salvation. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. With today's focus on the holy days, specifically the first day of unleavened bread, let's go back and review what is written regarding the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Today is the first day of unleavened bread, a Sunday, a day of the week we typically do not gather on unless it is a holy day. In 2025, the next weekly Sabbath will be the seventh day, the last day of unleavened bread. Both are holy days. We are to do no servile work. Old Testament references to sacrifices and offerings have been fulfilled by the death of Jesus Christ, who died once for all. Leviticus 23, verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. In Exodus, we are told to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And from Paul's writings, we know this is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We are not to eat leavened bread, nor are we to allow hypocrisy to be part of our life. No leaven is to be found in our homes during this feast, nor are we to eat anything that is leavened. Exodus 12, verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Historically, it was on this day that the children of Israel departed from Egypt, a nation that had oppressed them. It was on this day that the children of Israel left their oppressors. And as we eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, we cannot become oppressors to others. The truth that God has given us is never a license to oppress. Numbers 33, verse 3. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgment. And the children of Israel removed from Ramses and pitched in Succoth. Leaven puffs up. We need to be on guard for what causes us to become spiritually puffed up to the point where we think we have a license to judge, condemn, and oppress others. The Pharisees did not magically appear overnight at the birth of Jesus. The Pharisees and their hypocrisy were long in the making and probably originated with sincere religious devotion. Over time, something happened that resulted in the Pharisees getting to the point where they thought they could judge, condemn, and oppress others. We cannot allow the same to happen to us, and we must be spiritually on guard because becoming like the Pharisees is something that happens over a period of time. Instead, we need to be like Paul, who very well knew that within him was a battle with sin taking on righteousness that happens every day. Paul explained that it is through Jesus we are delivered from this body of death. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Living a spiritually focused life with our mortal bodies should be a constant reminder of sin, and a constant reminder that it is through Jesus that we attain eternal life. As we are living our life, we are not to be living a life of hypocrisy, but of sincerity and truth. We can read the words of Peter to help us do this by knowing that through the Holy Spirit, we have a taste of the divine nature of God. And with this gift, we must, through diligence, exercise our faith and grow virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, so that one day we can be part of the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly and to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, and throughout this feast, we already eat unleavened bread, having removed leaven from our homes. We are reminded of the words of Jesus, who explained he was the bread of life, and how the religious authorities of his day were hypocrites. We cannot become religious hypocrites today. We are reminded by Paul of the need to keep this feast, not with the leavened bread of hypocrisy, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let us keep this feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the last day of unleavened bread. Until then, thank you for joining us today.